Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. I ask, Father God, that you would speak to us from your word, that you would help us, teach us, and guide us. I ask, Father God, that the words that are heard today would be yours and not mine. And I thank you, Father God, for the sacrifice of your Son. In Christ's name, amen. It's always exciting to celebrate what God has done with our country. We've just celebrated Independence Day. We're kind of in that mood of talking about the United States, our citizenship. We're very patriotic. The 4th of July. I remember many 4th of Julys with my family. And Dad was mean because he wouldn't let us have fireworks. So we always had to go to somebody else's house who had a kindly, good dad that would let them start the neighbor's roof on fire. So I was telling somebody earlier this morning that we were visiting a family that was allowed to have fireworks. And their son, who was always a problem, lit off a whole handful of bottle rockets at one time and did catch the neighbor's roof on fire. It was one of the most exciting 4th of Julys I can remember. How many of you, especially when we were younger, do you remember going to a display of fireworks and not only hearing the boom up in the sky, but you could hear and sense the boom as it came out of the tube in the ground, the mortars, you know, you could feel that. Wasn't that cool? That's great. I'm not sure I enjoy that now as much as I did then. This is the time of year that we do this. We celebrate specifically our Declaration of Independence. The American colonies becoming a country of their own. The separation from the British Empire. And what this has become and what it really has always been is a celebration of freedom. And that's what we just sang about. And it's so neat that, you know, I had begun to piece all these things together way back at the beginning of the year. I form out a schedule of what I'm going to preach on. And Karma had come up with this musical. And it goes along so much with where I wanted to be at this morning from John chapter 8. And the reason is that it's very important that we be patriotic. It's important that we celebrate the goodness of our country. And yet there's more to this freedom than just whether or not we are patriotic. The United States has become the world icon of freedom on this planet. People all over the world still look towards this country to understand the concept of freedom. We're, in a way, very unique in the history of this planet. People look to the United States to understand freedom. Emily and I got a picture of this when we were behind the Iron Curtain back in the early 80s on a missions trip. And because of the oppression of the church, and it was difficult and it was dangerous for Americans to be in East Germany at the time, we tried to dress, act, and sound as much like Germans as we could. And it was easy. We thought, well, it was going to be easy because the guy that we were with, John's like 6'4". He's a big man. I thought, man, he must stick out really bad. I'll be better because I'm more along the stature of Germans at that time. Auf Deutsch sprechen? Yeah, I can do a little. I found out while we were there that my accent is so bad, nobody would believe that I have any kind of German roots at all. And we're in Magdeburg. It was either Magdeburg or Schönebeck, East Germany. And we're with believers. And we're with a whole group of them, and they expressed some concerns because we were attracting attention, and we kind of asked some questions because we thought we were blending in. We thought we were kind of becoming more like they were. We were dressed alike, and we were trying to act like they did. And the one gal, I think it was Simi, who actually told us, she said, "There is no way that you are going to not be recognized because you are attracting a lot of attention just by you being here." Well, why is that? Do we look funny, or are we walking retarded or something? I don't know. She said, "No. You are Americans. You walk like you are free."
Yeah, that's right.
And everyone notices. You don't have to say anything. It doesn't matter what your color is. It doesn't matter what your culture is. It doesn't matter. You walk like you're free. And they could understand that because they were so oppressed as a people. The men that I have traveled with in India have noticed the same thing. They don't have to do anything. There's an attitude and an air about them that is free. People everywhere I have traveled want what we have, what God has given to us. And I believe it truly is a gift of God. The difficulty that we have is that it's very easy for our freedom and our patriotism to influence our Christianity. A difficult question I might ask of people is, if the United States were to cease to exist tomorrow, it no longer existed, would you still be a believer? That is an important question. Because our patriotism should never trump our citizenship in heaven. Freedom. Freedom is something every human desires. I believe that's something that is born within every human being. We see this in a variety of different ways. No one would say, "I want to fight a totally desperate battle so that I can be in bondage." It just does not occur. No one would say, "I would do extreme things so that I can live in slavery to a man or a thing or a form of government. I am going to do something incredibly extreme just so that I can be in bondage." We wouldn't say that. And we wouldn't think that. And I believe that we could take a poll this morning and we would find that there is no one in this room today that wants to be in bondage. Now, if you want to be in bondage, would you please stand to your feet? And no, nobody's going to do that. First of all, it would be really embarrassing. There is also the reality that any of us, and I might even say all of us, are enslaved to habits that are very pleasurable and yet sinful to God. Scripture teaches that this is our natural condition. We call it sin. And yet, this is real. This is the reality of who we are. And in this sense of sinfulness, we love our slavery. We've just sung about freedom and we've gotten all charged up about freedom, and yet we choose in so many ways to live in slavery and in bondage. If we take the time to consider what pleasure and happiness would be like without the bondage of slavery, what would that be like? To be that free. Even in the pleasures of bondage to sin, we desire to be free. Especially if we're believers, because we recognize we have sinned and we recognize the problems of that slavery. Oh, to be free. But there's this thing, and the Apostle Paul defines it as a war. Because as believers, we understand the freedom, but at the same time, we also understand that there's this conflict going on inside of us. because we enjoy the pleasures of our sin. The underlying truth is people want to be free. That's a part of the gospel message, is freedom. Now, Jesus speaks to this in a very, very good way in John chapter 8. And that's where I want us to be this morning. We'll begin this morning in John 8:36, and then we're going to back up a little bit. Jesus says, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Now, when Jesus wrote this, he did not have the United States of America in mind. He did not have any country. He had no political system in mind when he wrote this. When he spoke this. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I stop for a moment there because I want to make the point very clear. Free indeed. Indeed comes from a Greek adverb that carries the meaning of reality, actuality, something that is for certain, for sure. It is an absolute. He's not suggesting that maybe it's a kind of sort of possibility. When he says free indeed, he means you are in every way that can be in reality, you are free. And that's really what we want as people, to be that free. This is really what we're after, to be certain and to be able to live in the reality of that kind of freedom. Really free. Freedom in the deepest and most complete meaning possible. And I believe there's only one way for that to occur. And that's in Christ. Jesus offers this to everyone who believes in his work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. That is the only place we can have this freedom. He is alive. Jesus is alive. He's not some image of a distant memory. He's a historical figure, just as much as Caesar or Shakespeare or Lincoln. He rose from the dead with a glorious body, and he is alive, reigning as King of the universe. And as King of the universe, in verse 36, he makes this offer of true freedom to all who will believe. That's awesome. Now let's go back earlier in this passage and learn some more about freedom. Look with me at verse 30. We'll start there. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does not remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The freedom that Christ is speaking of in this passage in John is not some religious myth. This is historical. Just as the Revolutionary War is a historical fact, so is the very reason that we can speak of true freedom this morning. The freedom provided by Christ is given to the believer because of historical facts. When we as believers, when we as Christians say Jesus is risen from the dead, we're speaking historically. We are not being emotional. We are not being mythical. We are not occupied with some kind of blind faith. We're speaking about truth. Truth that actually happened. The work of Jesus is not inaccessible or distant. His death and resurrection are as real as anything you can reach out and touch this morning. He died for us. That is a truth, a reality. In John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Those Jews that Jesus was interacting with, the Jews who heard him, answered. Just as some of us might, maybe a little bit of a change in the language, because we might say, we're Americans. Of course we're free. And in this room, the generations that we have here, we're removed from any kind of slavery that we've had in the United States. So it would be very, very easy for us to respond exactly like the Jews did. We've never been in bondage. We've never been in slavery. We're free. We're Americans. Some of us might say, American. Free. Hoorah, yeah. They're free. We're almost, I heard a man in, it was in England on one of my missions trips, and his opinion of freedom of Americans kind of ran down the lines of this. You Americans are drunken with your freedom. And it's true. So we could respond like the Jews. They answered Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And we can be just like that. We are Americans. We have never been enslaved to anyone. And the focus of the Jews and the focus of our understanding can be maybe true. But we're not focusing on the freedom that Jesus had in mind. We're free. We're Americans, and we are free. But very possibly not in the sense that Jesus has in mind. Because Jesus goes to the heart of true freedom. Look at verse 34. He says, "Truly," Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." We may not want to publicly announce it this morning, but every one of us in this room is a sinner by nature and by practice. We are sinners. This is a reality. And it's really an incredible statement. The implications of this foundational truth are so important. This is God's evaluation of the human race. And in that evaluation, we're slaves. It's an absolute truth. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Because we very often want to stand in front of the mirror and go, "You are so good looking. You've got it all together." And God says, "You are a sinner. Everyone sins," which also means that everyone is a slave to sin. That doesn't sound like freedom. Last time I was in India, we got to watch them pour some concrete. And they do it a little bit differently than we do. They were mixing the massive quantities of concrete right there on site. And the process that they were doing that, they used labor to move all of the cement, all of the gravel, and do all the mixing and all of the carrying, and all of that was done by hand. And we found out that the young ladies that were doing almost all of that labor were slaves. The company that poured the concrete owned them. And we go, "That's vulgar, that's gross, that's terrible." That's slavery. And we are slaves to sin. If we sin, he says. Sin is then really the problem and the issue, isn't it? Sin is much deeper than just doing something bad or acting out some ungodly behavior. Sin is deep within our being. It's a condition of our heart, our complete being, that causes us to do sinful things. We sin because we are sinners. We're born that way. It's deep within us. And sin enslaves every human being. And I want to suggest two ways that sin enslaves. First, sin produces compelling desires that make anything look more desirable than Jesus. So one of the ways you can evaluate your lifestyle is if there is anything that you're doing that you want more than Jesus, there needs to be some flags go up. If anything looks more desirable than Jesus, and acting out on that is more important, that is a sin. Sin dominates our life. The second, sin enslaves because it eventually damns us. Without some kind of intervention, sin leads to hell. Period. There's no exceptions. Sin damns a person to hell. It isn't just the big sins. Well, those mass murderers, boy, they're going to hell. Oh, really? So which one of you have thought about doing somebody in? Just thought about it. Jesus says you've sinned. Why did you all laugh at that? Because it's a reality. Without some intervention, then, we are in big trouble. And this thing we call freedom is looking a little bit further away. There are some who would say that real freedom is when we don't have to do what God says. That's real freedom. Throw off all the constraints, all of the religious things, and boy, then you've got freedom. And the reality is that what you have there is a one-way ticket on a slippery slope right to hell. When a person is fine with desiring the things of life or the things that are against God or opposed to God more than Jesus, a person would not make this assumption if they were able to clearly see where that choice is going to take them. The end of that road is total, complete, eternal destruction. And I don't mean end of understanding. It's not annihilation. I'm talking about an eternity of discomfort, ugliness, hell. We then are slaves to the power of sin that is in us. No one is excused and no one gets to go around this. This is where every one of us, no matter how old we are, you know, we've got an infant over here, we've got some little boys over here, we've got some people that are a little bit older than that. I'm sorry, but your sons, as precious as they are, they're born sinners. It's the nature of who we are. Humanity can possibly make some kind of freedom. We can see that in our political system in this country. We can make freedom. We can cause people to be free in certain ways, but not from sin. Sin is too deep. It's part of us. It's our nature. We all have it. We're all slaves. Isn't that an encouraging thing to hear? Let's quit and go home now. We're all slaves. Ooh, don't you just love that? And the reason I can say, don't we all just love that? Because the only way out of that is Jesus Christ. If you want freedom, if you want to sing about freedom and have tears well up inside of you, if you want to live totally and completely, really free, then you need what Jesus says in verse 36. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus is the only way out of slavery. He is able to perfectly deliver us from both the domination and the damnation of sin. Christ became damnation for each believer. He took on the curse of sin. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That was Jesus. He did that. Redeemed us. Because Christ was perfect, his substitutional sacrifice satisfies God's wrath and justice. Jesus brings us freedom from the domination of sin by changing our nature. Are we still sinners? We know of the struggle, but we only know of the struggle because our nature has been changed by the blood of Christ. And he frees us from the domination of sin by giving us that new birth. Believers see the work of Christ and recognize that he is more desirable than anything in the universe. If you want a self-test, find out, you know, where you're at with Christ, whether or not you're going to heaven or hell, you want a self-test? Is there anything in your life that you value more than your relationship to the Savior, Jesus Christ? And if your mind wanders to something, you need to be warned. Because there's nothing more desirable than Christ. Nothing more desirable in the universe than Jesus Christ. Because he is the only one who can give us this thing that we call freedom. That's it. Jesus becomes the greatest treasure in the universe, the greatest treasure possible. When our sins are forgiven and God's wrath is taken away because of what he has done, he becomes the most important, most valuable thing, person, whatever. Nothing is greater than him. This is where worship comes from. He is our treasure. The greatest treasure possible when our sins are forgiven and God's wrath is taken away because of what he has done. His wrath, God's wrath is deflected. We're not subject to his wrath anymore because of what Christ has done. The work of Christ has freed us from the damnation and the domination of sin. This is the freedom that Christ speaks of. In John chapter 8, when he says, free indeed, that's what he means. You're freed from the consequences of your sinful nature. That's free. Free indeed means complete, total, with nothing lacking. Christ then has made us free as possible, so free that we have the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to do what produces no regrets for all of eternity. When you do the right things, when you live out the freedom that God has given you, there's no regrets. Boy, that's a different place. You can really enjoy those things. Because of the death and resurrection of Christ, the believer, Scripture tells us, has no condemnation. None. The relentless pull of our sin nature has been broken. You can live a sinless life. And that freedom to not sin, that freedom has no equivalent because it's provided only by Christ. Yeah, we understand freedom in this country, but do we understand the freedom of being a citizen in the kingdom of God? He becomes the focus of our love and desire. He becomes our ultimate desire. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Wow. You know, this information is not for our it's not just intellect information. This is an invitation to trust. This is an invitation to something greater than we can even imagine. It's not just for our intellect. It's something for us to be completely devoted to, meaning to the source of our freedom. If you want complete, total freedom in the deepest sense of the meaning of freedom, then you need to subject yourself to the King. And in some ways, our minds go, that doesn't make any sense at all. And yet the greatest freedom that we can experience is when we bow ourselves to the one true King. Then we experience freedom. Freedom. Much greater freedom than just being an American. I have dual citizenship. I am a United States citizen. I have a passport that says I am free because it says United States of America. That all disappears. But my citizenship in heaven will never change. And I will always be free. That's the freedom I want. And I want to live more of that freedom now. So this has got to go beyond just information. This has got to change who we are and how we live. Verse 32, Jesus says, "And you will know the truth." What truth is Jesus talking about? He's talking about spiritual truth, eternal truth, truth that saves. This truth is in Jesus. He is the only place anyone will ever find truth that gives freedom. Looking anywhere but Jesus is futile. Jesus is truth. It's what he said in John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." He is truth. Scripture also tells us that the Holy Spirit is the source of truth, John 16, 13. "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will disclose to you what it is to come." Truth. John 17, 17. Goes on and tells us that Scripture is truth. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Do you see a pattern here? Truth. Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. Scripture is truth. All of these represent the God of all truth. Does God know everything that there is possible to know? We would say, yes, He does. Then everything that He knows has to be true and truthful. So no matter what aspect of God, no matter what person of the Trinity you want to refer to, that's truth. And that's where freedom is. When we go back to John chapter 8, the Jews were saying that because they were descendants of Abraham, they were free. They viewed themselves as free. Were they? We view ourselves this morning as free people. We're free to choose. We're free to travel. We're free to do many of the things that a huge proportion of the population of the earth cannot enjoy. We're free. The Jews viewed themselves as free, but they really weren't. And very many in America are the same way. We are free. And we make a big deal out of our freedom. But in the same manner in which Jesus means to be free, so many are not free. So, what is it that Jesus offers? When he talks about freedom, what is he offering? And what Jesus means is freedom from slavery to sin. That's huge. The Jews in John 8 were not free. They were slaves to sin. We can be free in this amazing country this morning, this country that God has provided, and still be enslaved to sin and live in bondage. Everyone continually commits sin. Each one of us makes decisions that cause us to be in conflict with the perfection of God. If you miss the mark, as far as God is concerned, and remember, when God is concerned, that's perfection. So anything that you do that is not of absolute perfection, you've got a problem. Every one of us sins. Now we know from the Gospels, if you read the rest of the context of the Jews in John 8 and the other places in the four Gospels, you discover that the sin specifically of the Jews at this point was religious sin. They had corrupt religion. And Jesus tells them that only the truth of his sacrifice will save them and give them true freedom. This is the same message that God has for us today. To be truly free, free indeed. To have eternal, perfect freedom. We have to be delivered. We have to be redeemed. Which would mean purchased from our spiritual slavery. And that purchase price has been given. Jesus Christ died. Only the truth of Christ's perfect life, horrendous sacrificial death, and his marvelous and glorious resurrection from the dead can deliver any of us from the power and control of sin. Only those things of the work of Christ can remove us from spiritual oppression and satanic domination. Only through Christ can we be free. Only the sacrificial death of Christ frees us from the fear of death, the fear of God's judgment and wrath, and the fear of ultimate eternal hell. Only the truth of Christ, can make us free in the purest and truest sense. Are we free this morning as Americans? Yes, we are. Are we free this morning from sin? That's the question that really matters. Paul reminded the Galatians of this freedom. Chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. If you are here today and have not accepted the truth of Christ, call out to him today.